This is the last sermon of the series about God's mercy. This is number 6. We've looked at the new day of mercy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at mercy and our failures. We've looked at God's mercy and us offering forgiveness. Here's one that I had a lot of comments about showing mercy to my family. Last week, it was about mercy according to God, how He defined it. And today, we're going to look at being an agent of mercy. Now, mercy, let me define it for you one more time, okay? Mercy is undeserved kindness, okay? God has given His mercy out of His kindness, okay? We don't deserve it. And it's also unearned forgiveness. We cannot earn God's forgiveness. He gives it to us through His Lord, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is what we have. Now, I want to mention this real quickly. I was going to expand on it this morning, but for the time factor, I'm not. Long-range planning team, we're cranked back up. We're going to finish this thing in the next weeks, by the end of the year. Amen. There you go. But our vision, say this with me, bring it up, guys. Our vision statement is what? To see God's name become great among all the nations and all the world. That's our vision. That's what we want to be a part of. To do it, this is the mission that we have, all right? Bring that up. We're going to serve God, we're going to engage our community, and we're going to grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Now, what we're looking at, what is long-range planning all about? It's winning this community to Christ and expanding it to all the world. We can't win all the world. We know that. We won't win all of this community. 85% are not in church this morning in this community. Isn't that something? But there are some we're going to reach with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And it's going to include praying and sharing and worshiping and several other things. Now, real quickly, we're going to begin. We've already got some ideas, some of these smaller teams on the long-range planning, like the prayer team. We're going to engage our leadership, then we're going to engage the church, a computer project called Bless Every Home. And in this project, you're going to be able to see who your neighbors are. And we're not going to ask you to go pound on the door, but we're going to ask you to do this, that you pray for them. And you may want to take one or two or five a week. And by name, you're going to be able to learn their names. You're going to be able to pray for them. Can I share something with you? Programs aren't going to win the community to Jesus Christ. I can promise you that. We may get a few. But if we began seeking the Lord God Almighty and praying for all of our neighbors and co-workers, I mean, earnestly seek God, we're going to see God do great things. I believe that. We're trying to reach, even now, as we have this Dave Ramsey class beginning in October, to help not only those in our church, but we want to reach Awana parents. Most of Awana, a lot of Awana kids that come, their parents are not in church or they're out of church or whatever. They're not Christians. We want to win them to Jesus Christ. And we're trying to look for ways to get inside the door, maybe into their lives. We're going to have a big prayer emphasis church-wide in January. We want to help you to grow in your faith. This is part of long-range planning for the next 3 years, is to grow in our faith. The only way I know to grow in the faith is to know God better. And the way to know God better is to know His Word. We're going to offer a little course called How to Study the Bible. We want to give you some pointers on how to study God's Word. And then we're going to help you with a witnessing course as well. And then we want to see the growth that God gives. Yeah, there will be some building things coming out of this. I mean, even this morning without the music ministry growing, it's packed up here, isn't it? We need to expand this platform. I tell you that right now. We need a nice welcome center out there with a welcome desk to give out information about our church. But that can come in time. That can come in time. Today we're going to look at being an agent of mercy, and here's the bottom line. If we're going to see that God's name becomes great in this community and in the world, this is what we got to do right here, okay? It's called being an agent of mercy. You and I can be an agent of mercy in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He says, "You shall be my witnesses." You're going to receive power with the Holy Spirit, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. For us today, that would be, you're going to be my witnesses in Greenville, you're going to be my witnesses in Greenville County, in South Carolina, and all the world. You're to be my witness. Now, we know what a witness is, okay? It's someone who tells what's happened to them. They've experienced whatever it is they've been asked to talk about. We're the only one, you and I, we're the only ones who can be a witness for ourselves, because nobody else knows how God has worked in our lives. That's all Jesus says. I want you to tell others what I've done in your life. I want you to tell others how you found new life. I want you to tell others how God has worked in your life here. Matthew, in chapter 6, Jesus said this about mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So how do we receive mercy? How do we show mercy once we receive His mercy? Well, we're going to look at a few principles today real quickly, all right? And then we're going to look at, we're going to focus on places of mercy. So principle number one, let's get into it. Number one, for people around us, for our neighbors, people we work with, people we go to school with, we need to look and to listen for people's needs. Everybody has needs, do they not? That's a starting point. The needs of people in your neighborhood, of people at work, people in your family, people you hang out with. Mercy always begins with being aware, of awareness, of paying attention. If you care, you'll be aware. The reason why we're not merciful, number one reason, we're too busy. Philippians 2 verse 4 tells us, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. We need to be caring about other people. Now, when my kids were small, you probably remember this, moms and dads, especially dads, okay? We come home from work, maybe it's after supper, and we sit down and we're reading a paper, or we're channel surfing, or we're watching a program. Anyway, I can remember Carol Lee coming up, and she's saying, Daddy, Daddy! Yes, honey. Daddy? Yes, honey. And I'm still flipping the channel, reading the paper. Daddy! Yes, Carolee, what do you want? What do you need? And she'd pull the paper down or grab the channel changer and grab my face in her hands and say, Daddy, look at me. Why did she say that? Listen, attention is the highest form of love. Attention says, you matter to me. When we give people attention, we're giving them a slice of our life that we'll never get back, because it's costing us something. It's costing us some time. Matthew 19:21. A young ruler came to Jesus with a question. This is what the Bible says when he came to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know what? That's what Jesus Christ is asking you and I to do. We need to look at our neighbors. We need to look at those we work with. We need to look at others. And we need to love them with the love of Jesus Christ. If you love people, you're going to look at them. Start by listening and looking for the people's needs around you. I've asked this morning for just a moment, a couple of minutes is all I'm giving her, for Joan Johnson to come and to share about she took a part of her life and looked at a need around her and her neighborhood. Joan, would you come and share, please? Joan is also involved, just to show you the mercy of God. God is a wants all people to be saved. She's involved in a ministry. She wrote a children's book. Some of you have seen that, and I know if you want a copy of it, you can get one from her. But she's involved in a ministry of delivering children from sex slavery. And she told me just this week of a 16-year-old who was working in a quarry and was involved in the sex slave business, for lack of a better term. Anyway, she was delivered. God answered her prayer. She was saved. And then she felt a call to be a doctor. And she's going to school now. First time, 16 years old, she began school. She excelled, and she's continuing on. And she's going to become a doctor. And now that she's in higher education, someone is paying for her education so that she could go to school. And the one that's paying for it is the son of the owner of the quarry that she worked in. The owner became a Christian, and then the son became a Christian. This is in India, and now God has laid on him. He needs to pay for this girl's schooling. Our God is a great God. Amen? Listen to me real quickly. I need to finish this sermon. It's so important. First of all, we need to look and listen to the needs around us. Then secondly, we don't need to be offended by their sins. And I'm not saying It's okay. Their sins are okay. I'm not saying that. But we don't need to be on a high horse and look down our nose. Because here's a principle, okay? Let me give you a piece of advice. Well, first of all, let me share. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love. But here's the advice. Here's the advice. You need to remember this with your unsaved neighbors. Don't expect unbelievers to act like believers until they become one. Don't expect non-Christians to act like Christians until they become saved, until they become a Christian, okay? I mean, that's so simple and so logical, but we often don't do that. We want and we expect everybody to act like Christians when they're not Christians. They're not Christians. It's not going to happen. The Bible says they don't have the power to change. They don't have the mind to understand our lifestyle. And to ask a non-believer to have the same moral standards as a believer, it's nonsense. It's not going to happen. In Matthew 9, Matthew, of course, was a tax collector. He was saved. He became a disciple of Jesus. And then he invites Jesus to a party at his house where he invites all the other tax collectors and sinners. And the religious authorities of the day, they look down their nose at tax collectors and at Jesus for going to the party, okay? And this is what Jesus said. You need to learn the meaning of the scripture of the Bible. I want you to be merciful. I want mercy instead of sacrifices, because I've come to call sinners, not those who think they're righteous. I didn't come to call people who think they're well. I didn't come to save those kind. I came for people who know they're sick, who know they're sinful, who know they're broken, who have problems. That's who Jesus came for. So Jesus wasn't looking for the Pharisees' approval. He was looking and listening to the needs of other people. Here's the third principle, okay? Whenever we're working, whenever we're talking, whenever we're dealing or just speaking with unbelievers, with those around us, we need to choose our words carefully. If we're going to be an agent of ministry, we need to choose our words carefully, because mercy, it should put a monitor on our mouth, okay? There's some things I just can't say. Does that make sense? I mean, this is what I'm talking about. You can't be mean to people. You can't be rude to people. You can't be sarcastic to people. You can't put people down. We have to choose our words carefully. I remember a mission trip I went on with a church one time, and we worked all day, and man, we were so good to the people we were working with and the church we were working with. Then we went to a restaurant to eat that night, and a waiter, he made a mistake, but man, one of our team just blasted him. You know what kind of reputation that gave our team? Can you imagine? Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that is, be pleasant, so that you may know how you ought to answer, how you need to talk to every person. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive, all right? The Bible says that every time you talk, especially with unbelievers, you should always be kind. You should always be pleasant. You should always answer in a way that we should. That's what agents of mercy do. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building somebody up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace and mercy to everyone who hears. So my question before we move on to the next point is, your words, what you speak to others, do they tear them down or build them up? Well, that's the Bible telling us what to do. Fourth principle, last principle, then we're going to look real quickly at places to do this, all right? People versus rules. People versus rules. In God's book, saving people is a whole lot more important than keeping rules. Would you agree with that? Jesus modeled that over and over and over and over and over. In the Old Testament law, it had all these restrictions on working, okay? And then the Pharisees, the religious authorities, they came up with more rules on that. And one is, you shouldn't do any kind of work on the Sabbath, okay? But then they plot it in all kind of small and minute ways. And in Matthew 12, it was against the law, the religious law, to pick grain on the Sabbath and eat it. It was considered work. Jesus and his disciples, they had been ministering all week. They'd been ministering all day. It was the Sabbath day, and now they were hungry. They were walking through a grain field, and Jesus said, "Go on, grab some grain. You know, rub it in your hands, get the chaff off and eat the kernel. Have something to eat." And they did. The religious authorities saw them and they blasted them. I mean, just crucified them. They were indignant. "Why are you guys breaking all these rules?" And this is Jesus. Basically, he said this: they're hungry. He cared more about his disciples' empty stomachs than he did about keeping the traditions of the elders that weren't written in God's word, okay? Over and over and over again, Jesus broke the rules to heal people, because healing people like on the Sabbath was more important than keeping rules that somebody made up. That is the God of mercy. It's to help restore, to help bring people to Christ. We need to value saving people over keeping rules and traditions. So those are four principles of mercy right there, okay? Now, real quickly, what I want to do for a couple of minutes is give you six places to be that agent of mercy, all right? Number one, at work, at home, in your neighborhood, at school, wherever, look for people who are in a crisis. Look for people who are in a crisis. They need to be listened to. Somebody's going to be in a crisis. It may be health, it may be relational, it may be family, it may be a job. But when people are in a crisis, your ear, God will use your ear like a healing tool. I didn't say advice, I said ears, okay? You can heal people just by listening to them. People pay big bucks to counselors for this, all right? And I know counselors are needed, okay? There's healing in listening. Look for people in crisis and listen to them. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ." What's the law of Christ? It's the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love who? Your neighbor as yourself, okay? Fulfill the law of Christ just by listening to somebody in crisis. Secondly, look for people with unmet needs and help them. Do they need a ride somewhere? Do they need help? Do they need a meal? What is it they need? Find out what that need is and meet it. Matthew 6:15-3. "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." That's what mercy does. We look for people with unmet needs and help them. A third area is look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Not just with a loss in their family, which is the ultimate grief, someone who's died, okay? But you can lose a job, you can lose all kind of things. Every loss that you experience in life, you're going to grieve over, okay? There's no loss without grief and pain. And when that happens, God wants you to be an agent of mercy. Are you too busy to notice people who are grieving where you work? Do you even know those who are grieving? Do you know enough about them on what's happening and the losses in their lives? 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God of our Lord and Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort." We want that, don't we? The God of all comfort. But why does he give us comfort? Paul says, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which God gave to us." Fourthly, look for people who need friends and show hospitality. Everybody needs friends, right? You know what? God hates loneliness. And one of the ways you can be an agent of mercy is to look for people who are lonely and give them a little hospitality. I believe people are hungry for hospitality. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25 that the one thing that we'll be judged for in judgment is how we treated other people. Do you know that? In Matthew 25, Jesus says this: "I was alone and you welcomed me." I can hear him now. Who did you welcome? Who did you show hospitality to? Who were you kind to? Whose needs did you meet when you were on earth? When was the last time, I'm asking you today, you showed somebody some hospitality? Number five, the fifth place, look for people who need a second chance. Has God ever given you a second chance? A tenth chance? A hundredth chance? You know what? They're everywhere. Because everybody's had failure. Everybody stumbled. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has flaws. Everybody makes mistakes. And we see people who have failed. Maybe they had a failed business or a failed job. Maybe they had a failed marriage. Maybe they had a failure in some relationship. We need to look for people who need a second chance and show them and tell them and model for them where they can find that second chance. In other words, show them some mercy. Last one. Well, let me say this. Giving people a second chance is one of the most powerful ways to show mercy. One more and we're done. This is a challenge. Look for people who are rude. You know anybody like that? Huh? You experienced that? That shouldn't be very hard, should it? Look for people who are rude. Look for people who are rude, and here's the challenge, be kind to them. 9 times out of 10, that's going to blow them away. It really is. I was in the parking lot at Aldi yesterday. I went in, looked for something, came back out, was getting in the car. This literally happened. I don't know what happened, but there was a car behind another car. The car was parked, another car was behind it, and evidently they bumped each other. The guy behind him bumped the other guy, and two men were out there just shouting. I mean shouting, screaming. And one of the guy, young guy, went over, and he just started pounding his car like that. And I didn't hear what the other guy said, and he said, "Go ahead, shoot me, I dare you." It's time for me to leave. Great day. But one of the wives was out there in between them, you know, just trying to pour water on the fire. And finally, when I was backing up, the guy behind the other one got in his car and backed up, and he was leaving. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling, saying ugly things for ugly things. But on the contrary, bless. For to do this, you were called." We're called to do that, that we may obtain a blessing. If you want God's blessing on your life, you need to learn how to be nice and how to be kind to rude people and not be rude back. Okay. About once every 3 or 4 weeks, I'm asked to pick up Nora from the sitter on Fridays, okay? And so a week ago Friday, I picked her up, 1:30. And when I picked Nora up, she's sitting in her car seat, and now she's big enough to where it's turned around and she's facing the front. And I'm always just acting like a clown. I'm doing something with her, okay? So I'm always singing, you know, I'm always doing something. And then I started telling all these old nursery rhymes. And one was, "Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her, scared Miss Muffet away." And she zeroed in on that. And she zeroed in on the spider. And all I heard, every time she got in the car, all I heard was, "The spider scared Little Miss Muffin away. The spider scared Little Miss Muffin. The spider scared Little Miss Muffin." I mean, she was obsessed with this. And I kept saying, "It's okay." And then I began to realize she's going to have a phobia about spiders if I don't say something. So I said, "Well, it was okay. The spider was a nice spider. He didn't mean to scare Miss Muffin. All right? Spiders live out in the cars. There's not one. The spiders live in the woods. There's not one in the car." And on I was going. But she was obsessing, obsessing, obsessing about that spider. And as she said, "Miss Muffin." And preparing this sermon, that just brought back to me, if I could share something about me and about you. So often we're obsessed about ourselves. Would you agree with that? Even when it comes to church. And about our needs, and that's all that matters. And then when I read this book, it tells me you need to look after somebody else and not so much yourself. We've been called to show mercy. You know why? Because God's poured out His mercy on us. Do you agree? Would you show mercy this week? They're all around you, those who need it. Either in your speech, in your actions, whatever it may be, show mercy. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, God, for this sermon because it blessed me. Forgive me for when I haven't shown mercy. Forgive me when I think more about me than others. Help me to be an agent of mercy. Thank you for the mercy you poured out upon us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that if we need a picture of mercy, it's you hanging on the cross, because there you carried our sins. When we didn't deserve it and we couldn't earn it, you died for our sins. But then you conquered the greatest enemy we have, and that's death, by rising. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace, because it is by grace that we have been saved. Father, I pray today that everyone in here has experienced your grace and mercy. If not, I pray it will be today. But then, Lord, I pray every one of us in here today, Lord, even now, there's somebody's face we see in our mind. We need to show them mercy. Lord, let us be that agent of mercy you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.